Picture this scene. It's a typical Friday afternoon in Newark, New Jersey. There's a group of young black men, many in gangs, milling around the liquor store on the corner of South 15th and 10th Streets. And then a van pulls up. On one side, there's a painting of Tupac. On the other, photos of dead bodies. Bodies of young black men killed in gang violence. And on the roof of the van, there is a coffin painted in big orange letters. Three words. Stop the killing. Tyrone Muhammad, also known as Muhammad the Mortician, owns that van. He's the funeral director at Newark's Peace and Glory Home for Funerals, and he's spent decades trying to stop the epidemic of gun violence in his community. But he told Charles Monroe Kane that nothing prepared him for the pandemic. A quick word of warning, this conversation is frank and sometimes disturbing. Truth often is.
So, of course, it's 2020, and we have a very different and just off-putting and strange problem right now, right? We have the coronavirus, especially, which is hitting the black community so hard. Like, what's it look like on the ground with the coronavirus for a mortician?
I say it's very sad. It's very sad in itself because we weren't prepared for it. I think across America in itself wasn't really prepared for it, particularly in the black community. Because when it first started out, you know, I don't know, it was just like an urban myth for a few days that black people don't catch it. It was only white people catching it and dying from it. It wasn't much known. And then the NBA player came out, then different people start coming out that were black. Then people start understanding that, you know, hey, this thing could be real. But then they would start saying, oh, they paid spokesmen. They just paid celebrities, so they can't be real. Then it hit. And one day, March 23rd in our community, it went crazy.
That really surprises me. You're actually naming a date, an actual day when coronavirus hit the black community. I mean, what happened that day?
Yes, I can remember, like I said, March 23rd, normal day. We walk into the funeral home. We're a very busy funeral home. Many do. We do a lot of calls. And then it called in. Somebody died in the house. And then I remember my colleague, she said, oh, I got one. And then, man, that day, March 23rd, all day, we took in 30 people that died from the COVID-19. It was dropping everywhere, in the houses, hospitals, people was calling. So we was frantic. We weren't prepared. We, you know, most companies do like a fire drill or some type of mercy drill. In this case, we were not prepared that what came into our funeral home. Straight 8 days, and we had 210 people in our funeral home.
Wow.
In 8 days.
I'm so sorry. That sounds terrible.
Yes. Yes, it was crazy. So we was out of our mind. We were staying late, and we realized we couldn't catch up. That's when it started hitting us. We couldn't catch up. And people were starting to call more and more and more frantic. So now imagine our funeral home getting it. Every funeral home started getting it from New York all the way into New Jersey. So now families are starting to search around, trying to find funeral homes to come get their loved one. Nobody was taking it. We were stuck. We were scared. We were stuck. And we weren't sure what to do. But it became so funeral home now to me, I call it the house of horrors to this day, because what's going on right now inside the funeral homes is a disgrace. And not just ours, but in most of them that's going on right now, particularly in New York and New Jersey.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
You're a mortician, right? You're also a human being.
Yes.
But you're a mortician. You know, you touch the dead bodies. You see the pain. How do you stay strong during something like this?
Man, up to this point, I was doing very well. I mean, this is my passion. This is what I believe that I was born to do because it's a gift. I mean, it's easy for me to make somebody that looks disfigured to learn the art of restoration and making people look good. I'm used to that. I love helping people. But I'm in a sad and sunken place at this point in time. Why? Because like I just said, the funeral homes have become a house of horrors. And what I mean by that, not just mine and other funeral homes, we are seeing people literally turn into liquid maggots in our funeral homes. Because the fact of the matter is that we have this situation is that the funeral homes are looking like the bad guys because the hospitals want them out and the cemeteries won't let them in. So we are stuck with people at our funeral home. We got at least 80 people who already had funerals since March 25th that we hold them to June 1st because the cemeteries won't open up their gates. So now what do we do? It's sad to see people rotting right in front of us because a lot of people are not being embalmed. they're going straight to direct cremation, or they're going to direct burials. In that type of situation, we don't have to embalm them. So now we got them in their caskets, we got them in their cremation trays, but now we have to store these human remains. And so now we're walking through the funeral home where the death stench is seeking or reeking in the carpets, because we have literally 150 people in forts outside of our prep room. They're laying on floors, on wooden planks. We got them on stretchers. We have makeshift stands, and they literally rotting because we can't bury these people. We can't cremate these people that have passed on. And it's undignified to leave them there. And it's a health hazard to us, right?
Right.
So like 90% of them has coronavirus. And then not only that, the family can't even grieve properly because they can't have funerals no more, according to Governor Murphy, executive order.
So you just can't have a funeral at all?
Right.
Like mom can't come or a kid can't come. I mean, how do people grieve? How does the community grieve?
Right. That's what I'm saying. There's no more tearful goodbyes at this point, because this is the way it works. Right now, in Executive Order 108, according to Governor Murphy, he said that only 10 people can come to your service. We can't classify them as funerals, right? Mayor Baraka, the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, he knocked it down from 10 to 5. So you can only have 5 family members. So we had an incident about 2 weeks ago where this woman had 7 children. We was only allowed 4 or 5 of them in. So 4 of her children came and 1 sister. The sister bumped one of the children and they start fighting in the altercation outside, because we told them he can't come in and see his mother. That is disgusting. But at the same time, you got 5 people that can only come into the funeral home. But right down the street from the funeral home, you got 12 and 13 people in the liquor store. I can't rationalize that. You can have 13 people in a liquor store in the same, what's supposed to be social distancing, but you can only have 5 people paying their goodbyes to a person that gave birth to you. I don't understand that.
You're a mortician, so in many ways you're an expert on grief. What do you think it means for a community when people can't grieve for their dead? What do you think the long-term effects of that be?
Now think about it. These people got to live with the notion that they didn't get to see their mother. Now, the reason why I say that, let's just use the mother, because the mother's the most daring person in our life. I mean, we love our fathers, sure, but the mothers, they get top bidding. So you can't see your mother. Number one, now we want to show you your mother, but she got COVID-19. Now, once her death certificate says COVID-19, you can't see your mother if she's unembalmed. So if you want to do a direct service, but normally under any circumstances, we'll let you come see your mother. But due to the COVID-19, we don't let you. You got to see your mother through a picture now. You can't touch mama. You can't kiss mom. So now we tell you, okay, mama's going to go to the crematory or cemetery a month from now. So you riding back and forth in that cemetery knowing your mother's still inside. Now, people that have some type of addiction, some type of weakness, what you think that's going to do? That's going to push them right over the edge. He's going to be one of those 12 and 13 in that liquor store, or that 8 or 9, 10 standing on the street corner copping some dope, because the fact that they're dealing with this type of situation, because they know that their mother died, they didn't get to see mom, touch mom. Now they know mom's still in this funeral home for another month. Man, listen, that's going to have an effect on them that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I have one more question for you, and I feel it's going to come across as crass or privileged, but I really want to ask you. It's like, it seems that your community, the African-American community, is well rehearsed in grief. White America, for the first time ever, I think, maybe, is starting to grasp a collective pain, this time due to coronavirus. I don't think we're handling it very well. What do we need to know? What should we be doing about the pain we're in?
Matt, you know what? I think that it goes to show you that your privileges, white America privileges, can't be revoked at any time, just as such as ours. I think finally, white America, I think they know our pain. White America know our pain, and we know what's going on in this country, but it's going to take the real people in the country, man, that's going to be able to speak out. You got to remove fear and speak out on truth. And I just love what's going on right now. People are binding. People are coming together. Nobody's looking at racism that much now. People just afraid, and they're just trying to save their life, brother, particularly, you know, mom, grandma, just trying to keep everybody safe. So I love it, man. What's going on?
I really respect your positivity, and I'm glad I got to speak to you today. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's always good to talk to you, and thank you, and be well.
Tyrone Muhammad is the funeral director of Peace and Glory Home for Funerals in Newark, New Jersey. He was talking with Charles Monroe Kane.